Welcome to Dateline New Haven on WNHH Radio. I'm your host, Paul Bass, inviting you to look behind the headlines on the stories that make New Haven tick. Now, who said that Republicans and Democrats are never in the same room and can't talk together, maybe even share a cigar at some point? We're going to show that that is actually the case, that they can. We have in the studio today Vincent Morrow Jr., the Democratic town chairman of New Haven, and Jonathan Wharton, the Republican town chairman of New Haven. They are familiar voices on WNHH, but for the first time, they are here together to talk about what's happening in our city in this political campaign season in New Haven. And you guys are having trouble with the headphones, though. All right. How's that now, Vin? You can hear? All right.
It works for me.
All right. Well, welcome to the show. How you doing, John? You're in Vic, too? Well, guys, what a pleasure to have you in the studio. Thanks for coming in. You guys are busy. This is election season.
It's the season.
All right. So let me tell you, how's it going? How has election season gone? How busy are the two of you?
Want to start?
We always have a little more activity here in New Haven than Jonathan does. But
We're making them sweat.
Yeah, this is painful.
Are you sweating, Vinny? I don't see any sweat on Vinny.
You know, I'm fat enough. I sweat on a regular basis, but Jonathan's not making me sweat.
The humidity. My candidates are.
You know, the Kanye 2020 shirt I'm staring at makes me sweat a little bit, but, you know, that's about it.
Even a couple Trump supporters in the room.
You do have a couple Trump supporters in the room.
But, Jonathan, how is the Republican Party making the Democrats sweat this year?
I think the fact that we're doing fundraisers, we have a couple of candidates running. I mean, we don't have nearly the amount of candidates, obviously, they have, but we at least have a few that are interested in getting out there.
Well, a few meaning you have, what, three for alder, right?
We have two for alder. We have one for Board of Ed and one for a judge.
All right, and that judge and Board of Ed are probate judge, our citywide offices. Yep. Mm-hmm. So you're not panicked, Vin?
No, no due respect to Jonathan Warren. I'm not panicked yet about the Republican Party in New Haven. But
yet.
I listen, and by the time that I am panicked out, it'll be someone else's problem. So, it's good. I mean, listen, this is, you know, Jonathan brought some life into the Republican Party. It's a different voice, going to articulate different ideas and have a conversation about it.
Well, actually, Jonathan, since you took over the party a year or two ago, there's been a lot more energy, as Vince said. Not only do you really have candidates, which is unusual for citywide offices, but you actually got people going on boards of commissions, including yourself.
Yes.
You're on the City Planning Commission, mm-hmm. and you have been taking really respectful but independent stands on that commission, especially when it comes to the influence of unions at Yale versus Yale University itself. So there's definitely stuff to talk about. But Vin, yesterday was the day for submitting petitions for people who want to run in either party primaries or in the general election against nominated candidates, endorsed candidates.
How many petitions did how many primaries the Republicans have this year? Just want to check.
We don't have
any. No, okay. I'm just making sure. I didn't know. I didn't see if you guys, you know.
Yeah, you all are the competition party internally. I mean, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, you know? The argument always was.
It's like fighting your cousins.
I wouldn't want to be invited to that family reunion.
Well, no, that's
you're always invited.
That's a good point he brought up. So since about the 60s, the real election in New Haven has been considered the Democratic primary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there are factions within that party, and they're considered the two parties within the party.
Yes.
That's changing somewhat because we now have, I think it is 14,000 unaffiliated voters in New Haven.
Right.
Along with 2,000 Republicans and 37,000 Democrats. A lot were kicked off the rolls. There actually used to be a lot more in both cases.
Mm-hmm.
So the Democrats are overwhelming. But in the last few municipal election years, we have seen independent candidates do quite well.
Which is why I'm kind of intrigued what's going to happen with PACA.
Yeah.
Of all people. Yeah, I mean, Haji as well.
So you have a couple independents who
are well, Haji's going to win. There's no Democrat in that
race. Right.
So Jeffrey Kirikas is an independent, got 45% of the mayoral vote in 2011. 2013, Justin Elker got pretty close to winning. He lost by a few percentage points, right, Vinny? What was it, about 4 percentage points?
Four or five, I can't remember.
52, 48, something like that. So now it's a given that there are general elections.
Yes.
And it's so easy to petition on for him. You just need 122 signatures
Absolutely.
Of voters as opposed to 1,800 if you want to run in a Democratic primary.
Mm-hmm.
So you brought up the name PACA. So this year, the Democratic Mayor, Toni Harp, is running for a third term. She has an opponent named Marcus PACA, who is a Democrat. But he is running as both a Democrat and an independent in the general election. He is qualified for the ballot to run in the general election. He submitted 3,200 signatures on petitions of voters to make the Democratic ballot. They're counting those names this week. By Friday or Monday, they'll know whether they're going to certify that 1,852 of those are legit. Vin Moore, do you expect there to be a primary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he handed in 3,200 signatures. That's, you know, I texted Marcus yesterday, told him it was a good job. You know, it's not an easy task to get that kind of signature.
Now, you're backing Tony Harp, correct?
Yes, I am.
Because your party's backing Tony
Absolutely.
Harp. Okay. How do you feel about a primary? Is it good for the party?
Listen, I don't have problems with primaries. I mean, if people want to run, you run.
John Stefano used to say he hated, he'd get very angry at the person running against them, but he'd say afterwards that it made him a better mayor.
Absolutely. And they do. I mean, you know, elections make you better, you know, statewide, you know, legislative races.
And that's sort of why you want a Republican party too, right?
Yeah, you get people who will engage earlier in the process. If you don't have an election until November, most campaigns don't get going then until, you know, September 1st, you know, Labor Day, sort of the official campaign kickoff when everyone starts paying attention. If you have a primary, everything gets expedited. I mean, like, people are talking to people in, you know, in the middle of summer rather than wait until the fall. The dialogue works.
What are some of the issues? What are we trying to figure out? Like, there have been other primaries where we're trying to figure out something. For instance, in 2001, the issue was, is there too much corruption in the city? Actually, that was 99. Then 2001, it was sort of, do we go back to neighborhood schools or do we go to, like, get rid of sports and do an artsy downtown and do kind of themed schools and that kind of issue? What are the issues this year? Marcus Pacas says that the city's in a wrong trajectory. There's a lot more crime than we're acknowledging. That City Hall is being run incompetently with vicious vendettas. Tony Harp is saying, you know, there's a lot of work to do, but in fact, we've cut crime dramatically. We have so much building going on that shows confidence in the city that while we have problems to tackle, where New Haven's the gem of the state, and while other cities are either going bankrupt or having 15, 20 murders, we're having, I think, five murders so far, violence down by half from a bunch of years ago. Our budgets have been balanced, although with the state problems now with the budget, that's in peril. I'm going to ask each of you guys, who's right, Marcus Paca or Tony Harp?
I'm going to let Jonathan handle this one first. Let's see where you go with this.
Into the ocean?
Thankfully, we're not in the middle of this because, you know, you have two candidates on your side, and we didn't want to put up a mayoral candidate because, we felt no need to because we're trying to at least get things started, at least for the Alder races. We're not taking a stand. We're not endorsing either, you know, the mayor or, you know, Marcus Paca. I will say that we were a bit taken back that Marcus Paca was at our fundraiser in June. He stopped by.
Oh, yeah, he stopped by. Did he actually pay?
Actually, he did not pay.
We found out.
Send him a bill.
Well, we've been tempted to send an invoice. So, you know, I will admit, he's clearly shopping around for support.
Yes.
You know, and he's not going to find it with us.
And why is that?
Because, you know, we stand by our candidates who are Republicans. If there happens to be an independent we might be intrigued by, possibly. But in the past, it's rare. So we're not going to get in this, you know, fight right now. But it's just not worth it.
Why is it not worth it? Who's right? Is he right or is Tony Harp right about the state of the city?
I think there's some elements on both sides that are kind of intriguing. One of them that I think he's bringing out is the concern surrounding, you know, the people that she has brought on board. There's been a concern about their appointments and, you know, how much a concern there is that people are leaving City Hall here and there.
Now, with the appointments, now some people criticized for appointments of people she fired, like Marcus Paca and Jackie James. Are those the appointments you think weren't good, or do you think it's the people who are in there now?
I think it is an issue. You know, it's
so
a matter
you're not
of
answering the question. In other words,
I'm not going to get into it
because you don't want to get anyone against your candidates. You're just going to try to slide in on taking shots vaguely.
Exactly. And meanwhile, with Paca, at least, well, we know he's cheap. So, you know, I'm going to tell you, there are negatives on both sides, I guess you could say. I mean, as far as what, you know, the mayor's bringing out and saying, look, you know, these vendettas, you know, this is all personal. You have to wonder, in light of these lawsuits and, you know, a candidate like Marcus Paca running to go against her, you know, it's like revenge of, you know, New Haveners, I guess. So among Democrats, at least. So it's just bizarre that this has got to be fought out in the primary.
What do you think about that? Because you were saying it's a healthy thing, this primary.
Yeah, so, you know, primaries are healthy. They always have been. You get people, like I said, to different ideas and have it out.
Who's right?
Listen, I mean, it's hard to argue with the numbers and the facts. I mean, you could say that, you know, crime is higher, but, you know, there's certain statistics you can't fake. And, you know, in that regard, the city is doing well. Although my truck was stolen out in front of my house a couple 2 weeks ago. Really? Oh, no. I got it back though. So
you did.
Who stole it?
I don't know.
Maybe a Republican.
Well, yeah, it's a pickup truck for crying out loud. It could have been a Republican.
What was Jonathan doing that night?
Yeah, where were you?
Probably biking around.
Yeah,
town.
Probably biking around town. But
now you have several primaries for Alder.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, I just on that one point. I mean, I it's hard to argue with what the success New Haven is showing the rest of the state. You are judged by your peers, as right. we all are, right? Right? So New Haven's peers are Hartford and Bridgeport.
Right.
Essentially the same conversation, and I'll do it to my friend, you know, Luke Bronin. Mm. You know, New Haven's in much better financial shape than Hartford. It's a livelier city. Jonathan bikes around. I mean, and I tell people all the time, I mean, come down to New Haven on a Tuesday night and sit out in front of any one of the numerous restaurants right. downtown. It's a lot. It does. It looks like Hartford does on a Saturday,
right?
But that's a Tuesday night, maybe. So there is a liveliness to the city and a vibrancy that people are now drawn to living here. And she's the mayor, so she gets to take credit for that, mm-hmm. right? I mean, mm-hmm. and that's so you can't argue with what the success New Haven has statewide at this point.
Right. Okay. What do you think, Jonathan? Do you feel that way? He just used the example of the happy, young, successful New Havener enjoying the
like
city.
Jonathan,
yeah. Well,
the hipster, young,
but
mini hipster bike rider hipster. Gave me a bottle of Beaujolais of all things. Well, I'm a Budweiser guy for crying out loud. He gave me a bottle of Beaujolais.
Well, we'll forgive you for that. I mean, you're a Democrat. We'll get you some class one day. I will say this. I think that New Haven, unlike the sister cities, there it does stand out because I think the fact that you have the colleges downtown. I know that Hartford's trying to replicate that, obviously, with creating the UConn campus down there. You know, there's already Gateway here. There's already Yale down here. I mean, heck, even Southern, Kansas State University, we actually have an office space up there. So there's a presence of at least college students down here. And I think that's right. what stands out among the other cities.
But it's not just college students. I agree there's college economic influence.
Variety.
But look at this market sure. rate housing. Those are, well, I guess some students are living in those. But
sure,
it's not
but even
mostly.
Those who are just graduating, they're at least considering buying homes. At least there are condos down here right. for people to purchase. I mean, in downtown Hartford, you barely have that.
People want to live downtown. I mean, like there's a... You know, anywhere
and
from
in Westville, and in East
right,
Rochester,
right,
East
absolutely.
Shore.
You know, what I mean,
Dixwell. They're building in Dixwell, and
it's become a place where people want to be. And like I said, she gets to take credit for that because she's there. She's the mayor. But
what do you think, John?
It is.
I think there's an element of truth to that. However, I would emphasize, especially since I'm on the City Plan Commission, I think there needs to be more of it.
Right.
I think that this is just a beginning point, and I would hope the administration and others would push for more development. More incentives for developers to consider places outside downtown. I mean, downtown's getting its share.
Yeah, absolutely.
But beyond downtown, I'd love to see more development take place in other neighborhoods, especially in Westville. I don't understand how there are all these empty stores in Westville. How does that happen
right. absolutely.
In that ward? It's bizarre. That's one of the more vibrant areas it should be. I know that Delaney's burned down RIP. I get it. But there should be more development, more construction, more stuff.
I think it's still a sore subject to some of the...
I know. It's still hurts me.
I still have
my beer chips.
They're building the new restaurant at the old bank branch
yes,
there.
Yes, there is talk of that.
Brunch
right.
is pretty busy. Not nightlife, but you have Lyric Hall, which right. is pretty busy.
Bellows is a zoo. You can't get
my wife, We go to Lena's. You know what I mean? Like that's. I mean, like you go in there. You're people don't mind. You know, hey, you know, for breakfast you gotta wait. You know, you gotta wait an hour for breakfast. I'm like, okay, let's go to Dunkin' Donuts and grab something.
There should be a way of luring in those developers. Consider get outside downtown.
Yeah,
get in
absolutely.
The mindset of Westville.
But I think it starts here. Right? I think that's your point. I mean,
it does.
Like,
yeah.
Like if you were to look at New Haven's future and say, okay, what does it go out from 5 years and 10 years?
Right.
And you would look at Hartford and Bridgeport. Which one would you put your money on?
Oh, New Haven.
I think that's the point.
And towards Vinny, I'm a West Hartford kid.
Right.
And
you're doing that on WNHH Radio, your home for community radio, 103.5 FM, live streamed at newhavenimpen.org. You listen to Dateline New Haven, and maybe the only place in America right now you have the head of a Democratic Party and a Republican Party across the table from each other and not tearing each other's heads off.
Not yet.
Not yet. Vin Morrow, the Democratic Town Chairman, Jonathan Wharton.
Jonathan's way too skinny for me to hit.
I got my bicycle helmet ready. Be ready.
What does it mean to be a Republican in New Haven? What does it mean to be a Democrat?
I think to be a Republican in New Haven means that you're concerned about the budget, you're concerned about taxes, you're concerned about what's coming down the pike from the state, especially now that we don't know what's going to happen with the state budget and how it's going to have effect on a city like New Haven. I think we're also concerned about the dominance of the unions at the Board of Alders. No question, the majority of the alders are union members, union engaged. No offense to the unions, because God knows my family's all involved with it and has been in the past, but it's too dominant in this city in terms of what's being said and what's being heard. We want to see more independence. We're concerned about small businesses. We want to see them have a voice as well at the table. So
what
that's what I
would
say.
What does it mean to be a Democrat? And what do you think about what Jonathan just said, that your party is basically controlled by Unite Here?
Listen, the party is controlled by the voters, you know, and that is, you know, there's been a long dominance of democratically elected people in this city. Controlled, you know, everyone says, oh, they're, you know, Unite Here. I mean, have you met any of these people? Have you met any of these alders?
Yes.
Right.
I know them too well.
Right. But they live and work in these, in neighborhoods. They may work for a certain organization or be associated with a certain organization.
Or they might vote for this association.
But they also care deeply about their neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's an unfair broad brush painting, to be fair. I mean, listen, you don't think Democrats care about their property taxes and crime or small business or big business? Of course they do. I mean, this is where his national Republican talking points are going to take over.
Let's
it doesn't
think
work here.
There's no national anything with me.
Give Vin a specific where you feel that having that the Democratic Party was too dominated by Unite Here unions and therefore made bad decisions.
You're throwing me a softball. I mean, do we have to bring up what happened back in the spring, back in May with the City Plan Commission meeting in terms of their efforts to push forth that, you know, initiative? To say, you know, before it goes City Plan and certainly Board of Alders, it's got to get a vote, at least by everybody, in terms of what they're going to do to change around variances and zoning laws.
Are you talking about changing the whole zoning law in the city so the Board of Alders could stop specifically Yale development? Now, the argument for that was other cities already do that. They want to have public have a say
but the
in
way
how
that was
a university
rushed, Paul,
builds.
That was rushed so quickly that even the staff members in City Hall weren't even familiar with the language
Gilbar,
in there, among others.
What do you think about
that,
Ben?
So do you find it ironic that a Republican is now criticizing how fast government works? I'm just asking, Jonathan, so your complaint here is that government's working faster?
Not when
I'm just
everyone...
I'm just asking. I mean,
of course I'm complaining. Definitely complaining.
You're complaining that government works fast. We've gone to a new place here.
Well, Vinny, in reality, it'd be nice if the staff members knew the language of it first and knowing the impacts and implications surrounding the law. I mean, why do you want everything to go so quickly? I mean, you know, plus there was an agenda attached to it. Clearly, it was unbelievable.
What was the agenda?
The agenda was to get all the alders who are on board with the unions to support an initiative like this and then ram it down the throats of the Board of Alders as well as the City Commission. You know, I have never seen anything like that in such a long time. I had to scratch my head.
Okay,
can I interject
myself and say that I feel I can make a better Republican argument than Jonathan did and a better Democratic argument than Vin did?
Go ahead, let's go.
Going third way here. Okay.
Yeah,
I
like
feel
this.
The Republican argument.
He's wrote all the stories on this, so he's well versed in this.
The Republican argument is that
you and I can take a break.
The true conservative argument is that government should be deliberative. You don't rush into stuff. You debate it well because sometimes you cause more problems than you're fixing. The better Democratic argument, I would argue in this case, is that Yale is the dominant corporate entity in town that has rarely been challenged for decades when it wants to do something. If you have a bunch of people who can challenge that and bring to the fore voices of lots of people who are affected by whether they can park on the streets, whether they're going to get a job, how they're going to street, if they're going to be afford to live in their city anymore by the decisions Yale makes, that it makes a lot of sense to have representatives from their neighborhoods who bring their voices to the fore and add them to the process the way other cities do. So I would argue that on process, Jonathan had a Republican argument that's kind of compelling, and on substance, Vin had a Democratic argument that was compelling.
Oh, those are the differences we see here. I'm just kind of floored at, you know, how quick it went. And I'm glad it died.
It did
quite
die.
Frankly.
And it did die, and Republicans, I mean, Democrats killed it, not Republicans.
Listen, Yale is essentially one of the major engines of this
Absolutely.
Of this city, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and for, I don't know, Paul will remember better than me, you know, I mean, for 25, 30 years, if you wanted to run for office in New Haven, all you had to do is scream at Yale, and you'd get elected because they didn't do X and they didn't do Y. You know, it's changed over the course of, 20 years at this point now, Paul. You know, it's
since Rick Levin came in 93.
Yeah, right. So it's it's been a little bit more than 20 years. It's now been a, you know, essentially a partnership with the city in Yale. And although that partnership,
they have a strong union at Yale, right, and I would argue that's the reason we might have less poverty than we otherwise would, because they're the main employer.
Absolutely.
But there's not a doubt, as Jonathan says, that Unite Here backed candidates whom they recruited and supported do control the Board of Alders. So this is a check on power to Yale. Is that a bad thing to have a check on power to Yale?
No.
And I think it's unfair to say that they're completely controlled. I mean, I don't know anybody who's completely controlled by one entity or group, you know?
Even though the president of Unite Here, Bob Proto, has actually declared to his membership meetings and contracts, we control the...
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes that's, you know...
Bravado.
More bravado than anything else. I mean, you have a conversation with these with members of the board. Listen, members of the board, it is not an easy job. I mean,
no,
it is not an easy job. You know,
you get
people,
paid nothing.
You know, it's a lot of volunteer time.
Right.
People are sometimes unfairly criticized, sometimes fairly criticized for what they do. But it's not an easy job.
You know what's to me about this discussion is that Jonathan Einhorn used to be a Republican, the leading Republican town he ran for mayor. Mm-hmm. His father, Joseph Einhorn, ran for mayor against Dick Lee in the 60s and ran a very competitive race. Yep. And in those days, in addition to being against desegregation, the Republican Party, they didn't want black kids having to go to white kids' schools, he also was critical of Yale. And it was the non-Democratic Party left, the radical left, and the Republican Party that in those campaigns for mayor would unite to say that the Democratic Party was too cozy with Yale.
Right.
Now we have the Republican Party have the position that the Democratic Party is too cozy with Yale's unions and that you got to step out of the way and let Yale bring prosperity to the city by developing more on its own terms.
Right. And well, and I will tell you, there's a backlash going on that's brewing that you all aren't aware of. You know, there are concerns by a number of small businesses and others who want to say, hey, let's get the candidates elected who are not all union-backed, all union-supported, agenda or no agenda.
Just small biz or also Chamber of Commerce.
Actually, all the above. Actually, I've been approached multiple by all the above, including the hospital, too, because they want to see a more balanced Board of Alders. And can you blame them? I mean, you know, it's absolutely amazing how there's this interest right now with this. And so I'm here to see what's going to happen with this. I just only hope that, you know, our fundraisers have been successful. There's been an interest. I'm grateful that Paul and others have, you know, put at least a word out there for us and beyond. But I'm only hopeful that we have candidates to come up, step up, and want to run for office. People who do want to, you know, consider being on a board or commission as well, so we get at least a fair say.
Hey, so now we're going to have a contested race for mayor at least in general election, maybe the primary. You have Tony Hart, Democrat, Marcus Pacca, unaffiliated in November, maybe running the primary too, as Democrat, likely. You have a woman from the Working Families Party, Sarah Ganong, put in petitions to be on the ballot, assuming those are approved. So she's saying she doesn't want to be the mayor. I asked her if she'd fix the sidewalk on my block, and she said she would not commit. She says she doesn't want to be the mayor. She doesn't even want to be in debates.
Right. Mm.
She wants to get 1% of the vote, because in many other Connecticut cities, including all the majors, Danbury, Waterbury, Bridgeport, Hartford, and a bunch of smaller communities, including Wyndham, and they're on the ballot. What they do is they endorse Democrats they like. They cross-endorse, and that way they try to move the party to the left. Do you think she'll get her 1%? Do you think that's a good thing for the city? And maybe do we need them instead of the Republicans, the alternative party, to be more in step?
Wow. Are you about to get bounced by the Working Families Party as number two in New Haven?
Oh, please. Vinny,
come on.
Don't start with me here.
Dear.
I mean, you know, I'll tell you. It's a good thing I didn't bring my golf clubs today. Look, who needs a baseball bat? I will say this. I think that we still have a presence here. We do matter. Yes. We are starting more or less from scratch, but there is an interest here. The Working Family Party, look, they're making inroads in Bridgeport. I think they're attempting to do it here in New Haven, but they're more successful in a city like Bridgeport than I would argue here.
Absolutely. Listen, I mean, the Working Family Party has a statewide line on statewide elections. It makes sense for them to get into local elections. I mean, and once again, it's another name on a ballot, and you know, we're going to see a lot of people who vote in this next election who are not voting for a candidate but want to cast a contrarian vote. I mean, and it just gives another opportunity to do that, and it makes the people who are running work harder.
I think the bigger question is, because the truth is there are more than 2,000 Republicans. They do have a ballot line.
Last time I heard, we're close to 4,000. It's like 4%.
No, you and the Democrats got slammed by the rolls got updated.
When they had to clean the rolls.
New Haven got a new tool. I guess you missed that story. They got a new tool from the Secretary of State that other cities used 2 years ago.
Yeah.
25,000 voters were taken off the active rolls.
Wow.
You might be one of them.
15,000
Democrats. Hold on. Can we make sure Jonathan's not one of them?
Hardly.
So
don't worry, counselor.
My question is, though, is we still have 14,000, about 25% of our city is unaffiliated. Who are they? Are they more like Democrats? Are they more like Republicans? Are they just people who don't like parties? Which one of you
can I put my professor hat on
let's get your professor hat.
He's going to go nerd on me here.
Yeah, I am. I mean, I have a PhD for a reason here. Pile high and deep.
You want me to start calling you Dr. Wharton?
No, counselor. Okay, don't. No fine. Need to. Don't worry. I have my parents for that. Look, I will say this. In general, this is a trend going on nationally, and certainly we see this at the state level. Vinny, you can speak about this in Connecticut, because it's amazing how many people are independent or unaffiliated, because it's a frustration with both parties.
Absolutely.
And among young people, Paul, in particular, there's angst amongst institutional political parties like the Democrats and the Republicans. And I think that's why there is an interest in somebody like a Bernie Sanders, and why there was an interest in Donald Trump. There are people who want to go outside the norm, go beyond the status quo, and say, you know, one thing, we're fed up with both parties. And so they're trying to at least maybe doing it by unaffiliated. And yeah, that is a concern. How do we bring them on board?
Yeah, which one are you? Give me the pitch. Okay, I'm Mr. Unaffiliated. You got 20 seconds each of you to tell me why I should join your party in New Haven.
You're the professor, man. Go ahead.
No, I spoke. It's your turn.
Wait, time out. You're living in New Haven?
Yeah.
You're a Democrat.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, do I have to actually make an argument? I mean, it's New Haven. You want to be a Democrat
in
New Haven.
Are you fed up with New Haven in the sense of, hey, it's too dominant, too much controlled by one party? Are you concerned?
Does that argument really work
here?
Dominance of one thing? I mean, listen, this is not Washington.
It's a Leviathan here. It's a Leviathan on the Sound. This is ridiculous. It's too controlling by not just one party, but by the unions.
Oh, God.
It's true.
You are like a one trick pony
with
this union thing.
Hardly.
I don't know how we could generalize. I know there are some unaffiliated voters who are suspicious of traditional organizations, whether they be unions or traditional parties. On the other hand, some of them are big corporations. A lot of those are Bernie Sanders voters who are pro-labor.
Right. I mean, party is also what happens on a national level. So, Paul, if you're asking me that question, you care about healthcare?
Yeah.
Okay, well, his party in Washington is trying to destroy healthcare.
That's oversimplified.
It is not. You want to talk about your party in Washington wants to destroy healthcare. So I can make that pitch.
No,
I can't make that
that's
pitch.
That's not a pitch. That's
it
not.
Is
Jonathan,
a pitch.
What I'm Mr. Unaffiliated, and matter of fact, as a young unaffiliated millennial, I'm pretending to be here, and they're not all millennials, but
a good chunk
of
them are.
I don't know how the heck I'm going to have health care if you Republicans take away Obamacare, because I'm sure as heck not going to get it.
Republicans are not looking to take it away.
Yes, Jonathan. You cannot ignore what happened in the last election.
Wait, 7 years, Vince. 7 years, they said, replace Obamacare. You've run on nothing but that.
That
for
was
seven
not
years.
All Republicans. Many were.
Come on.
If anything,
you
they
cannot ignore what happened last
plan.
November.
They
that's your party.
Or what happened last
plan.
Month when they had bills to get
right.
rid of Obama.
And look how many Republicans voted against both. I mean, you saw what happened. Look, the parties are splintered.
Was it two or three in the Senate?
Yeah, it was Susan Collins, McCain, it was others. I mean, look, the reality is that what should happen in Washington, Vinny, is called something called communication, negotiation. That art is gone in terms of dealing with a bill like health care. Your party doesn't want to talk with my party. Doesn't want to talk with your party.
How about
at least you and I are talking locally, but you know that's the truth. How often do you see Congresswoman DeLauro saying, you know one thing? I'll work across the aisle. Tell me. Instead, what does she have a sign up there? You know, GOP. You know? Get old people. So look, and what's going on with Murphy? What's going on with Dick Blumenthal? Are they really negotiating with Republicans? Come on, Vinny. We know they're not.
You
they don't
own
even
it.
Know who
it's
they
your,
are.
You want to get rid of it. You own it.
Politics used to be negotiation. Used to be
absolutely.
Communication. And in Washington, it's a
completely.
Dead art.
How about in New Haven?
Completely agree.
In New Haven, look what happened. We came on the air. We're hashing out the issues. Do we hate each other? No. I think there's an element of respect. We talk.
An
we
element?
Negotiate. An element. Not when you're threatening me. You know, I accuse you of stealing your pickup truck.
You know.
He's trying to class me up.
Exactly.
Social
aid will do no harm to a Democrat.
What's an issue that you think you
I start
could
drinking
you could cooperate
now.
On in
you
New
need
Haven?
It. What's that?
What's an issue in which Republicans and Democrats could work together on in New Haven where you could find common ground?
I think
that
development.
We can't nationally.
I think
absolutely.
Economic development. Honestly. I completely
agree.
I think that can be one area where we can negotiate. You know, and I'm hopeful of it. because at least, you know,
it's in all of our best interests.
Not like, to mention, developers want to see that.
Right.
Right.
It's all our best interests. I mean, more jobs in New Haven, more people want to live here.
Right.
It's a better place to be. It's your taxes go down. Your property taxes go down. It becomes a destination.
Okay, so Jonathan has spoken up against, he felt delays. It happened this week where one of the alders, Aaron Greenberg, put a delay on Yale building with building permits for a whole graduate study because there's going to be a film screening room for the kids, which he said might have a parking impact. Do you think that was a good decision to hold up? Does it matter if it delays? What's wrong with delaying something a few months so that you can look at it a little
bit more? I mean, I'm confused now. Jonathan is complaining things move too fast, and he complains things move too slow. So, I mean, he's picking and choosing his arguments.
That's right.
Listen, Aaron knows what he's doing. Aaron Greenberg's a good alder. He knows what he's doing. And my guess is at the end of the day, everything works out.
No, I disagree with that. Aaron also has a hatchet and has an agenda. Clearly, as a leader for, you know, the local union there for the graduate students, he's leveraging this. And hey, it's political. I get it. He wants to use his power. Go use it. But you know one thing? To prevent something like this, hey, there's an agenda attached we should be concerned about.
There's no virgins in this room.
Well, let me ask you about the position. Vin had a really good point about fast and slow here.
Right.
So your point about zoning changes is that it needs to be deliberative so all people can weigh in.
Absolutely.
So what the alders have said when they've delayed some of these Yale building projects is that what's wrong with taking a little more time to look at all the implications instead of just rushing them through?
Not when we know there's an agenda attached to it. It's been in the past. Especially when it comes to parking spaces. I mean, of all the issues, to politicize parking spaces?
Jonathan's claiming virginity now.
Vinny, don't make me go down that road.
There's.
All right. I'm going to get some final predictions before we get off the air. How much of the vote is the top Republican candidate going to get this November in New Haven? Jonathan?
Oh, I can't speak for that. We'll just have to see how the door knocking goes, which they're doing right now. So literally, I got like text messages from one of my candidates. They're doing it today.
Good.
So we'll see.
What do you think, Vin? How Republicans going to elect anybody?
No, I don't think they're going to elect anybody. But I think the conversations are important. And I think that's what this city needs. I mean, you know, to have more people, more dialogue, it moves the ball forward.
Hajime Chalabelshulu, the independent candidate in Ward 1, is not having an opponent.
No.
Neither of you guys ran a candidate in Ward 1, even though Republicans had a strong candidate there 2 years ago who almost won.
Yeah.
And even though they're... Yale's a hotbed of democratic liberalism. Why did you guys not run anyone in Ward 1?
I mean, this is what I say. I mean, this, you know, he's a Yale kid with New Haven ties. That can only benefit the city. You know, there's been a long tradition of first ward alders who have done a really good job. You know, Stephen Pryor was there, and guys I serve with, like with Jelani Lawson, and, you know, I mean, and Julio Gonzalez. I mean, like guys who, you know, and people who really brought
Janet Stearns.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, well, you're predating me now. I mean, but you know, people who, you know, from that ward really brought a different view and a voice to that board. And I think he'll do the same thing.
Well, we were trying to get him on our side, and he was very interested with us, at least.
If he had run with them, we would have run somebody. How's that?
I wouldn't be surprised he would. But he is interested in terms of what's going on. He certainly has been attending our committee meetings, and so have his campaign staff. So I know that there's interest in seeing both sides, but certainly in terms of some perspective, think beyond the Democratic box.
Absolutely.
Why didn't you run a candidate, Jonathan?
In that ward, we didn't think it was necessary. That wasn't our first ward we were looking at. We're looking for candidates who are interested in living in a certain ward, and we were looking at downtown wards, but Ward 1 was not a direct one of them. We thought, well, he was already interested. There's no need for us to go against somebody like him.
All right. Any final words? Thanks for joining us.
If Jonathan, if they do win a seat, I'll bring him a bottle of whatever the hell he's drinking.
Beaujolais.
No, I love it. Sorry. I love it. All right. That's all a good one. All right.
A little side bet action.
I'll take it. Okay. I like a little competition.
Right. Well, thanks so much for joining us on Dateline New Haven today on WNHH Radio. Thanks to our guests, the party bosses in New Haven, Republican Town Chairman Jonathan Wharton.
We didn't even get to talk about
Kennedy
Trump.
Town Chairman.
No need
Vincent
to.
Moore. What about Trump?
Yeah, we didn't even get to talk about his president.
What do you want to say about him? You brought it up.
You better find a primary. You better run someone a primary, I guess, though.
Hey, one thing? He's trying to do what he's trying to do.
Are you not defending him now?
I'm not getting in the middle of that fight either.
Must be nice to be on the sidelines.
He's trying to do what he's trying to do. Not a very wholehearted endorsement of your party's president.
Hey, at least it wasn't Hillary Clinton.
Hey, I supported Bernie Sanders. Leave me alone.
We're going to take it out with the Afro-Semitic Experience performing "I Wish I Knew How It Feels to Be Free" from the group CD A Plea for Peace. Now, we know what it's like to be free. We just got to remember to book our flight. Book your flight with us all day and all night long here at WNHH, New Haven's home for community radio.